Yeah, hard to say. He hasn't really practiced. You know what I mean? He's been, I think it was a week and a half or whatever, give or take. So as of last week, he practiced a little bit, and we'll see where it goes this week to give you an accurate read on where he is with the playbook. Right now, he's spending as much time in the training room as he is in the, you know, process of game planning and all that type of stuff. So it's hard for me to say accurately in this case.
Sean McDermott on Amari Cooper.
Is that comment interesting at all?
It might
he's,
be.
He spent more time in the training room
than with practice. Like, right. Yeah. I don't know if he knows the playbook as well as he should because he's been hurt.
Yeah. Maybe it's a little frustration there, even?
Sure, frustration. I mean, I'm frustrated by Cooper being hurt.
Yeah.
You know.
Whether he can get. I don't even know. Like, he's limited. Is he catching the ball practice?
No. You know that? No, I don't think so. I mean, that's the thing. If you've got hand and wrist issues, I feel like you're not going to want to catch Josh Allen rockets.
Right.
Just a thought. Football Friday right. Brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Before we start to remember some Colts, I got a question for you about Cooper. And, you know, I'm not pushing forward to the offseason, but listen, the divisional race is effectively over. We all know that. So we're watching a couple things. We're watching the Bills and how they relate to the Chiefs. We'll see that next week. We're watching, like, the Ravens-Bengals to think about playoff matchups. The other thing to watch in the next, how many weeks are left in the season? 8 weeks left? They're 7-2. Okay, yeah, nine weeks of the bye. The other thing to watch is what they get out of Cooper. Because that decision about, is he coming back? You going to sign him? He's a UFA at the end of the year.
Right. Are you going to tag him if you don't sign him?
I mean, in order to tag him, he has to start doing great things for you.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. I wonder if we're always comparing to the Chiefs, right? We're always doing that. The Chiefs got DeAndre Hopkins. He shows up, and he's a beast.
Mm-hmm.
Two touchdowns, huge game. We'll see how that goes. We'll see if he does the same against Denver this week and against the Bills next week. I wonder, just the same way that we are doing the, to a point, Worthy v. Coleman stuff,
mm-hmm.
because the Bills didn't draft Worthy. They also didn't draft Coleman in that spot. People comparing those two because the Bills and Chiefs are always tied together. The Bills didn't trade for DeAndre Hopkins. The Bills traded for Amari Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Chiefs, who were trying to trade for Amari Cooper maybe also, go to DeAndre Hopkins. Is there a reason to compare the results of those two and the numbers of those two? The Chiefs' offense was in the mud, and they had injuries. That's mm-hmm. why they got to this point. The Bills got to this point where they needed to trade for Amari Cooper because they just didn't have anybody. It was not injury.
Right.
It was, we're not good enough out there.
Right.
So for the Chiefs, this is like their third plan at receiver. And Cooper, I'm sorry, Hopkins, I just wonder how much of that will lead to Cooper's got to get results. We can actually bring this to you as who needs to just get results.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Dan Chacha, Injury Attorneys. No worries, just results. At some point, the answer to this is Amari Cooper needs to get results. They traded a little bit less than a third round pick. It's a third for Cooper and like a seventh or whatever. He's got to get results.
Well, Hopkins, I guess the biggest reason you might want to compare them is the Bills prioritized Cooper. Like, maybe not over Davante Adams, but right after the Adams trade, they traded a third for Cooper. The Chiefs were kind of last at the feeding trough there, weren't they, for available receivers?
Right. Like, Adams went first.
And then Cooper went.
Cooper.
And then, was there maybe another one in between? Maybe
Deontay Johnson before or after?
I don't remember. So, like, but whatever. They got to trading Hopkins after, and he cost less, right? That was like a fifth? Maybe, and they got like a seventh back, right? There was a pick swap there between Kansas City and Tennessee.
You're forgetting Jonathan Mingo. That's who you're forgetting.
That is not who I'm forgetting. It is not Jonathan Mingo. So, I don't know. Like, I guess I don't feel as big a need to compare those two, but you could. You could, because the Bills thought Cooper was the one that was going to be more effective. But I think most processes would have resulted in that. That you would have got to, Cooper's younger by, 2 years, and he's done more recently, and Hopkins had an injury in training camp and hasn't done anything this season whatsoever, and neither player's had good quarterbacking, so, mm-hmm. like, that's not really a big difference. So I never would have thought you would want Hopkins over Cooper. So, yeah, though, you want results because you've both made moves, because you're both chasing the same thing, and you're going to want your own to go better. The one thing I'll say about Hopkins is, though, he did – the Tampa secondary and the Tampa defense is letting everybody do that to them. So this Scott Pianowski made this point yesterday when I asked him about Hopkins in fantasy, is I'm not ready to assume he's doing that every week until he does it against a real defense, because Tampa, I guess, is allowing that a lot. There's a couple bad secondaries in the league, and they're one of them. Maybe we saw two of them last night, too. So I'm not thinking about them, though, as much. I'm also not doing the Coleman Worthy thing a lot either, though. Like, are we hyper-analyzing Worthy on a week-to-week basis? Like, his numbers are not as good, but he's been close. Like, he is still taking the top off the defense. Mahomes missed him. This is his own fault. He missed a touchdown, like a 30-yard touchdown catch last Monday night by, like, a toe. Like, yeah. He was just out of bounds.
And Coleman lost one of those by a toe.
I mean, there's no doubt Coleman, though, has looked better or has been more effective.
He's a much bigger part of the offense.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. Like, for me, it was never about Worthy versus Coleman. It never will be. It will be that you gave them a chance to get better. You know, that you decided that. And there's a right now, like, if you're spiking the football on Coleman v. Worthy, that's fine. You can do that. The Bills did not draft Worthy, and I don't know that he'd be a big player for them, and Coleman has looked really nice. Half the point that needs to be made, though, is that the Bills also gave the Chiefs the chance to draft Coleman.
Like, right.
You gave them the board. That's what I hated. That'll be forever what I don't ever want to do again. Don't give them the board. And the other thing about it, that this is unfortunate that we live in this world, but if, put it this way, Coleman goes for 1,000 yards and 8 touchdowns, and it's, wow, great year. You got a guy. And then it's January, and you get smoked by Worthy on one play. His only touchdown of the year. And what's the story? That's your fault. You did that. That to me, that's what it's about. It's. I envision Bills, Chiefs, what's going to happen? They're going to, I don't know, if I'm looking at a matchup, should we do this on a Football Friday ahead of the Colts game, talk about Bills, Chiefs?
Sure.
The reality is,
we're not playing the game.
Well, the reality is also, if they lose to the Colts, we're still going to care about what they look like against the Chiefs. Maybe the one seed conversation is gone, but it still matters. Do they have to win? No, but I want to see the matchup. You know, like that Chiefs defense, this new Chiefs offense with Hopkins. So, yeah, I'm guilty of overlooking the Colts, but at the same time, it's not like if the Bills had a trip or a stumble game, would anyone think the sky is falling? They had those games last year.
They had a lot of those games last year.
In the 13 seconds here, they had games like that. The best Bills team you ever saw in your life had games like that.
Right.
It's kind of what makes the Chiefs the story right now at 8-0 and unbeaten.
Right. I'm not... If they stumbled, I'd feel fine. If they stumbled against the Colts, it would really take a lot of the wind out of the Chiefs matchup for me, personally.
That's probably right.
Like, I'm not saying that game is meaningless. I think it will be very interesting to see what they look like in a matchup as a potential preview for a playoff game. But I don't think there has ever been less meaning for a regular season matchup between the Bills and Chiefs than next week.
That said, is this the latest they will have met?
Close to it. I bet close to it. They played late in the year 2 years ago.
Because for a couple of years that was week 5.
There was, yes. I think two of them have been week 5, and maybe one of them was a little bit later. I'm going to look up right now. Last year was late.
That's right. Last year was late.
Because they needed the game to make the playoffs, right?
That's
they
right.
Were they 6-6 going into the Chiefs game?
Yep.
Here we go. Okay, so last year it was December 10th. I don't have the weeks, but I have the dates for you. December 10th.
Okay, so it was late last year.
The year before that, it was October 16th, so about a month earlier. Year before that, it was October 10th. So you had two early October games, three, because October 19th was the year before that. So it's gone October, 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 December. So three of them were earlier.
Do you feel like it's a better playoff preview the later it is? I feel like it should.
Yes, I do think that.
Like if the Bills had played the Chiefs, that's why I say this about Baltimore a lot, in last night's Baltimore game. The Bills played Baltimore before they had Cooper, and Coleman knew what he was doing.
Right.
And a healthy Shakir. They're a different team.
Last year, though, like what it did ultimately, did we learn anything about the regular season game compared to what actually happened in the playoff game?
I kind of don't even remember the regular season game.
The only thing we remember about the regular season game was the Worthy offside play.
That's right. The Hall of Fame moment for Travis Kelce.
What else happened? Allen threw a pass falling out of bounds that probably shouldn't have counted. Latavius Murray, right?
Yes, that's right.
Forgot that happened
about that
in
one.
That game. Just like I don't want to take the wind out of the Chief game next week. I just think it means less than it ever has. And last year is maybe an example. Like, it was late, and what did it really mean to the playoff game? What did it tell us about the playoff game? Things can happen in between that anyway. By the time you got to the playoff game, you didn't have your linebacker. So, like, there was nothing. Like, it was a completely different game plan probably by Kansas City because they were attacking a different point of the Bills' defense. So, I think them stumbling against the Colts would – I think the one seed is the thing. The one seed is the biggest thing about – no one's going to care if the Bills beat the Chiefs in the regular season again. Nobody's going to care.
It's the only race left.
The race is the one seed. That's the thing here, and you can't misstep.
You kind of have to be perfect.
Yeah, like you had those stumbles last year. You got the 2 seed, but what'd you miss the 1 seed by? 3 games? 2 games?
Yeah, it was over. I mean, Baltimore rested in the final game of the season.
Right, okay.
And it was clinched maybe with 2 weeks to go.
That's the one thing in the regular season they have not done. They've beaten Kansas City multiple times in the regular season. They've proven they could do that. They've proven they could do anything. Their record is incredible. Their point differential is better than anybody's in 5 years. They've proven they could do everything in the regular season except be the number one team in their conference.
You know what? There's a very loose parallel there. That's Josh Allen, too, is it not? Without saying it's his fault, there's never been 1 year where the Bills have been the best team in the AFC from a record standpoint. But we think they are the best team in the AFC of the last 4 years. And Allen,
point differential, they're number one.
Sure, and Allen has never won the MVP. But he's been right at the top every time, always finishing kind of as the two.
Right.
For whatever reason. Right or wrong.
Second place. Oh, you're the best over 4 years. But you were never number
one.
You
were never it.
Yeah. So that's like, that's kind of what's on the line for me next week. And I think if you lose to the Colts, I don't feel like it's on the line anymore. The New York Times playoff machine, there's not a lot to play around with the Bills on that, which is a good thing, right? They're 99.3% or whatever to make the playoffs. The one thing you could play around with right now on the New York Times playoff machine that's up is if you mark next week, don't do anything else, don't even do this week, mark next week as a win for the Bills over the Chiefs, and their odds of winning the one seed go up to like 30%. Even if they beat Kansas City, they're going to need a lot of help. You lose to the Colts, okay. I just feel like it's impossible.
Let me give you a New York Times playoff machine. You can do this, too. You can click on a team, and you can do it not just to make the playoffs, but chance to get the one seed.
That's what I was just, looking at. Yeah.
But the Chiefs version of that.
Okay, the Chiefs version.
The Chiefs. What do you think they are right now to get the one seed?
Like 65%.
80.
Wow. It's a heavy favorite.
Colts win?
This early in the year,
Colts
too.
Win? 88.
The Colts won over the Bills?
If the Colts beat the Bills
it'll go
somehow,
up 8%.
Which I don't think is happening. That goes up to 88%.
Right. Yeah, I've got the Bills page open. So the Bills go down to 4% to get the one seed. And if they were to beat the Chiefs next week, do you have that too?
I do. If the Chiefs were to beat the Bills?
Right now, what I have plugged in, I have nothing for the Chiefs. I just have the Bills lose to the Colts and then the Bills beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Their one seed odds are 8%. You lose to the Colts, next week's game doesn't mean anything to the one seed almost.
Yeah.
It's like, it's going to be almost impossible. Doesn't matter if you beat him or not.
Man, it's kind of just looking at the playoff machine here. Colts beat the Broncos, beat the Bills. Just that, they're at like 98.
Yeah. Yeah, they could wrap it up.
If they win their next two,
they can wrap it up.
They'd have a 3-game lead on the Bills. They'd have tiebreakers over the Bills and the Ravens.
With how many games to go? That would be, what, 6 games to go for them? 7 games to go?
Yeah.
And they'd have everything clinched, basically?
No, just the chances are that they'd be pretty well made. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Cooper. They need him.
I hope he gets out there. I really hope he gets out there.
Me too. The question, one unanswered question about this Bills team, maybe this is unanswered, you tell me. Like, last night's game has me thinking, what kind of games can they win? They can win this kind of game, that kind of game. Can they win a shootout right now? Do you think the Bills have what it takes? You've got Allen at all times, so you're probably inclined to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't really had to do that yet this year. I mean, Miami was close. Miami was the closest to this. They beat the Dolphins, and Miami played well. And every time you scored, they came back and scored again. And then throughout that second half, again, going up 20-13 – the final score of that game is 30-27, right? Like, nobody gave it back. It was a slower shootout to a degree. It wasn't quite like last night's game. Lamar had three touchdowns in the fourth quarter. But the Bills are a little bit more possession-y than they are explosive, I think.
I mean, it's because they start slow.
That's right.
Like, they don't engage. Well, I guess, but that was last night,
That was last night, too. Yeah.
Jacksonville couldn't keep up with them, right? Like, if Jacksonville's offense was cooking, then maybe that's a shootout. If Miami could have kept up with them in week two, maybe that's a shootout. So, I think their defense also makes it this way, that, like, this is why the playoffs are so maybe different for them. Their defense performs worse, like statistically, in the playoffs than the regular season. It's tough to have a shootout when your defense just doesn't let big plays up, right? Last night's a shootout because Baltimore allows two massive plays over the top of them.
Yeah.
And the Bills just don't do that. So when you play that, when the other offense is playing slower and has to move the ball down the field 10 plays at a time, I just think it's harder. Why is the Chiefs 13-second game a shootout? In part because Tyreek Hill had a 75-yard touchdown. So it made it feel like a shootout. You kind of need the big play for it to be a shootout, yeah. I think.
And that's something that Bills Chiefs these last couple years has not really had. It's been more possession drives, longer drives.
The Bills had a long touchdown in that game, too. Gabe Davis had a 75-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
First play of a drive. This is before the final 2 minutes.
Yeah, because I remember thinking...
They're down two scores, actually, I think, when he does that.
Nance and Romo commenting that Gabe Davis always has big games when they were on the call, because they were on the call 13 seconds.
Yep.
Time to remember some Colts.
Oh, let's go. Love it. And you're starting with a banger. Tough to beat.
Pierre Garçon.
Yep. Pierre Garçon is really good. I'll fire off first with a former, not really a Bill, but was with the Bills in training camp. Do you remember Colts running back Dominic Rhodes?
I do remember him. I thought you were going to go with Bills legend Derek Rogers.
I would have never had him as a Colt. Ever.
Isaiah McKenzie. Colt.
Also odd Colt.
Jerry Hughes. Colt.
One of my favorite players in Madden growing up, Bob Sanders.
Austin Colley. I'm reading some tweets
here.
Dallas Clark. Steven writes in, Brandon Stokely.
Good. Anthony Gonzalez, former Ohio State receiver. Also
oh, yeah.
There.
T.Y. Hilton.
Joseph Addai. Was he the? I think he was the running back when they won the Super Bowl.
James Mungrow.
I don't know who that is.
Syracuse grad. He played there. I think he might have been right after Addai. He played for a bit.
Okay.
Marvin Harrison, senior.
Obviously. Yep. Johnny Unitas.
Reggie Wayne.
Go back to the Baltimore Colts.
Who else did Peyton Manning throw touchdowns to?
He threw touchdowns to...
Who's the tight end?
Jacob Tammy? No, that's Denver.
Who's the tight end that's not Dallas Clark?
Oh, wasn't it always Dallas Clark? They had another one?
Yeah.
Earlier, like before Clark or after Clark?
It's going to bother me. I'm going to have to look.
This is after Manning, but Colby Fleener.
Marcus Pollard is who I'm thinking of. Ben Utecht.
Oh, that's a good one. I would have had. I like that one. I remember him. Jim Harbaugh. Right? Jim Harbaugh. Who else? What about like a linebacker? Who was the short linebacker that was really good? He was really short, though.
I mean, I'm thinking of Quentin Coriot, who they took second overall, but I don't think that's who you're thinking of.
No, that is not who I'm thinking of.
Colts all-time linebackers?
Not this guy, but former Bill Larry Triplett.
Oh, yeah.
Defensive lineman.
How about...
Dwight Freeney, obviously.
Dwight Freeney
and Robert Mathis were
Zach
awesome.
Zach Moss.
And Naheem Hines.
That's right. Is it John Bostic you're thinking of?
No. I'll have to find it. Hold on.
Mario Addison, Colt. Trev Alberts.
Okay.
Cornelius Bennett.
This guy, I bet, would have been like on the 2008 Colts. I'm going to bring up, first time in my life, I think I'm looking up the 2008 Colts Pro Football Reference page.
Cato June. No.
How about Jim Sorgi? Backup quarterback?
Yeah. Andrew Luck.
Jacob Tammy was a Colt. Andrew Luck, obviously.
Carson Wentz.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Wow.
Gary Hogaboom.
Wow.
Dan Orlovsky, Colt.
Yep. Antoine Bethea.
Oh, here's a good one.
Great safety. They had some good safeties. Oh, the linebacker I was thinking of was Gary Brackett.
Okay. How about this one?
Long
Drew,
time Colt.
Do you remember Drew Stanton?
Drew Stanton. What, he was the quarterback?
Yeah. He was the Michigan quarterback, but also the baseball player. Right?
He was supposed to be the one who started at Michigan over Brady? I think, right?
That might be right.
Yeah.
No. That's somebody else. Because Drew Stanton was drafted in 2007.
Oh, okay. That's right. Yeah, that's not it.
But, four-star prospect.
Okay.
I feel like he played baseball, too.
Oh, here we go. Another good running back who once destroyed UB in a bowl game. Donald Brown. Go look up his number. I think it was the International Bowl in 2008. He had like 500 yards against UB.
Deep pull for Bills fans here. Don't forget about Daniel Boom Heron. Thank you to Kyle for that one.
Whoa.
Boom Heron.
I remember him.
Pat McAfee.
Marlon Mack. Running backs are really good for this. The Colts running back list is so good.
Trent Richardson.
They traded a first-round pick for that guy.
Eric Ebron, tight end.
Yep. He just disappeared.
Yes, he did.
Dante Moncrief. Cornelius Bennett. Eric Dickerson.
Every person that's ever played fantasy football has had the fourth Colts receiver that you really didn't want to have, like Dante Moncrief.
Yes.
Every person that's ever
100%.
Played. 100%. Oh, yeah, I had a Dante Moncrief stage.
Yep.
All right, we got to get to Chris Brown. He's got the call of the game from Indianapolis. We'll check in with the Bills play-by-play man when we get back. It's a Football Friday as we're back in the snap. Brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Chris Brown's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hard-working men and women.
All right, Football Friday. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law Car Crash. Call Salino by Crosby's Pizza and Sub. Start your game day the Crosby's way. We go to the Western Hotline for Chris Brown, who will have the call of the game with Eric Wood and Sal Capaccio from Lucas Oil Stadium. Still called Lucas Oil Stadium. I guess I probably should have looked that up before I brought that up. Chris, this used to be a divisional matchup, you know? The young ones might not remember so much. The Bills and Colts played twice a year all the time. And I don't know. I feel like the old AFC East deserves a shout-out.
Yeah. There used to be five teams in the division, right? So, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a distant memory in a lot of ways because, you know, it's been over 20 years now. So, yeah, people might forget. Indy used to be in this division. The thing was, they were a doormat until, you know, Peyton Manning arrived, and then things changed, and then 2001, it was over.
Yeah.
I like bringing that up only because the Colts have more AFC titles than the Jets do.
Yeah, right.
Which is still true. That's the only time I like to bring that up.
Yeah.
If you really think about that, Chris, the Colts, even since then, I mean, Luck was great after, but they couldn't ever protect him, and his body broke down. Like, before and after Manning, you've got a lot of periods of time here where the Colts have kind of been like maybe a questionable organization. The way they're run is maybe the best way to put it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's been up and down. I mean, when Bill Polian was there as general manager, there was some measure of stability in terms of keeping a good roster intact, a competitive team. I remember Jim Harbaugh came within inches of beating the Steelers to go to the AFC title game and just missed on a Hail Mary. I think it was a Hail Mary at the end of the game.
Yeah, he kind of rolled out of the hands of the receiver who was on the ground.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've been close a number of times, and obviously Manning finally got them to the mountaintop with the one Super Bowl, lost in the other one New Orleans. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of been a star-crossed existence, you know, since they moved to Indy in the mid-80s.
You know, I'm thinking about, as Joe brings that up, they had a quick run of Matt Ryan. There's a quick run of Phillip Rivers. There's a Carson Wentz moment where they trade for him, right? And all of a sudden, like, that's giving context to me to the Anthony Richardson situation where the Colts are impatient and they kind of want to throw the Band-Aid on the position as quickly as they can. And here the Bills get Joe Flacco. Chris, I wonder if, like, your thought on Richardson versus Flacco here. I mean, the Colts are big underdogs, but which quarterback do you think Bills fans should rather see in that Indy backfield?
I would probably say Flacco only because you know where he's going to be every time he drops back. He's going to be in the pocket. I think their run game is easier to defend with Flacco on the field because there is no threat of Flacco running a read option, which is what they did with Richardson. So I think the run game becomes easier to defend because it's more defined. It's more clearly defined. And the quarterback, you know what he is and where he's going to be on every pass play. So I think because of those reasons, you'd prefer to see what you're going to see on Sunday.
They also have an injury to Michael Pittman that could be a big factor here. And the Bills have their own injuries at receiver. You know, I wonder what the offense looks like if the offense for the Bills kind of has to go back in time a little bit. The Houston game, the Baltimore game, they're kind of banged up a little bit. Injuries on the outside or maybe a lack of production from the outside. How the offense adjusts if, in fact, Coleman and Cooper are compromised.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of hoping Cooper's back. Coleman is not looking good, as we know. It's hard to kind of figure out what their plan is going to be here because I think, you know, you look at Indy's numbers and they're like, oh, 31st against the run. But that was due mainly to Grover Stewart and DeForest Buckner being out of their lineup. They're back now, and if you watch last week's game against Minnesota, they were pretty dominant in the middle of that defense. Guard to guard, the Bills are going to have to be outstanding in pass protection this week. Stewart had like two sacks, a forced fumble, got returned for their only touchdown. I think they're going to have to run to the edges today, or Sunday, I should say, to be effective in the run front, because running up the middle, I don't know that that's a good way to go against those two. So that would probably be job number one in the run front in terms of running the football. And then passing, I think play action can work. It's worked effectively for the Bills. They just don't run a lot of it. But I think there will be voids in the middle of the field if they run play action at the right time, right down and distance. So, you know, Joe Brady's going to have to call a good game. But look, this secondary on the back end for Indy, they've given up 26 plays of 20 yards or more. Both safeties have opponent passer ratings of over 105. They're young on the outside at both corners. So I think they can be had in the passing game, and it'll be interesting to see if Joe Brady calls a few more shot plays this week.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see who that would be, right? But we don't know yet because injury's got to be determined, but assuming Chris, no Coleman, and then maybe Cooper, maybe not, I mean, they're going to be down the depth chart a little bit, especially on the outside, which we've seen them struggle when they've been down the depth chart earlier in the season. Although, like, I'm thinking of Baltimore, I guess, a little bit for that. But as I pointed out earlier, Chris, like, Shakir was banged up in that game right from the get-go. And maybe this is a game where even if you don't have your outside guys, you still can get him going and attack the middle of the field.
Yeah, with him and Kincaid. And I think that's where kind of your play action pass game comes into play there. Although Shakir has been able to get involved no matter what they're calling in the passing game, he's really just been dynamic the last couple of weeks. I would anticipate that continues, and he might be, you know, job and priority number one for Indy's pass defense. I mean, they have a former all-pro in their nickel spot in Kenny Moore, but even he has struggled at times in pass coverage. I think his passer rating against is around 104. So they've all had issues on the back end defensively. Moore has tried to hold it together for them, being the veteran of the group, but it's been touch and go, to say the least, for them.
Chris Brown joining us on the Wester Hotline as we chat about Bills Colts. A couple of additions after the trade deadline, not the form of a trade, but Jordan Phillips, Quentin Jefferson coming back to the Bills to help them bolster their defensive line. Were you a bit surprised there was no action at the deadline? I mean, they got Cooper, of course, who's a pre-deadline trade. But I thought there'd be maybe something coming from the defensive line. There still could be, I guess, a move there because they have an open roster spot as well.
Yeah, I wasn't anticipating anything seismic. I thought Cooper was kind of the move, and it was a good one. So, you know, you've got that, you know, in your holster already. Defensively, they just need bodies to throw at the football. And you've got two guys that have been in the system before, so you would hope they could be quick on the uptake. I'm curious to see if Jefferson slides into Smoot's role, you know, setting the edge on obvious rundowns and then kicking inside on passing downs. He seems to be the right body type for that kind of job description. And Phillips, everybody knows, you know, what his MO is, although he's flipped sometimes between the three and the one technique. But they just need to kind of shore up the edges of the run front primarily, and hopefully it's more sound this week.
Chris Brown on the Western Hotline. How's Indy as a broadcast location? It's been a while, right? But
yeah, if memory serves, I think it's up relatively high, but I think it's somewhat central, so I'm not anticipating any major issues.
How about the tailgate scene there? I mean, I've never been to Indy, and I know NFL people love it for the combine and, you know, just as a general place, and there'll probably be a lot of Bills fans there.
Yeah, it's centrally located. You know, it's right on the edge of downtown, so everything is very walkable and close by in Indy. It's a well laid out city. I do know that there are a healthy number of Colts fans that just go to the local establishments in and around the stadium and then just walk up. Like, they'll park their car in the lot and then just go to a local tavern or watering hole and kind of do what a lot of English soccer fans do.
Yeah.
They'll just hit the pubs that are nearby and then just walk in after, especially when you get into the winter months and it's a little bit less desirable hanging outside. But I have heard there is a very, very large contingent of Bills fans that are going to be at this game. As a matter of fact, I heard one of our airlines, which I will not name, doesn't usually fly to and from Indianapolis direct from Buffalo. There are so many Bills fans going, they have added a direct flight on Monday after the game.
All right.
Indy to Buffalo direct.
All right.
Nice.
Very, very good. Thanks, Chris. We'll chat on Monday after the game. You know, hopefully a Bills win, and we can start to focus on Chiefs week.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
It'll be a big one. The Chiefs, by the way, this week, this is the first time they're playing at 1 o'clock this year, this week. Chiefs, Broncos, 1 p.m. They've been primetime or 4 o'clock every week.
1 p.m. our time.
Yes. Also. Yeah, our time.
Be 12 o'clock their time, right?
Sure. Yeah. But they've always played in the late window until this week. 803-0550, the Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy comes your way at the top of the hour. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Be caller 5 to win a pair of tickets to the Shorzy Fall Classic KeyBank Center Wednesday the 13th. Courtesy of AEG Presents, visit Ticketmaster.com to get your tickets. That's caller 5 to 716-221-4WGR. Question, why are math books always so sad?
why are math books always so sad? Why?
They have a lot of problems.
It's a five.
All right.
It's fine.
What do you call a fake noodle?
What?
An impasta.
What is that? We're giving that, is that a thumbs up? What was that?
I don't know. Click the wrong
That's
button.
That's an eight? That's better.
Okay.
Better than the first one.
Why can't a nose be 12 inches long?
It's going to be a Pinocchio tie-in. Why?
Because then it'd be a foot.
Okay. Third.
Third.
Bronze medal for that one.
Bronze. Tough crowd. Tough one. I mean, I think the math book's good.
It was fine. A lot of problems. math, we get it.
I feel like I gotta redeem myself. I got to get one that's above a seven.
I think we get the second one an eight. And we gave it a little standing ovation, too.
Did you hear about the circus fire?
No.
It was intense.
I think I like that one the most.
Okay, good.
I think I like that one the most.
Redemption.
That was pretty good.
803-0550. Dog of the day for the Sabres.
You're going to run out of dad jokes eventually, right?
The list I initially came up with had 260.
260. But only like, he's doing like two or three.
Like half
a day.
Of them are good enough to use.
I mean, like, so, okay, so by like the end of the year, maybe, no, mid next year.
I got a little while.
All right.
Yeah. Garrett sends one in. Why'd the farmer name his horse Mayo?
Why?
Because mayonnaise.
That's good too. That's good too. All right, those are the top two. The last two were the top
two. People start sending them to me. I mean, you know, everybody's winning here. Sabres and Flames tomorrow. Dog of the day. We're going to guess the dog of the day next hour.
I have it, so okay. you'll have to guess.
The Saddle Dome dog, the rodeo dog, the flame broiled.
The dog's actually just on fire.
Right.
It's just on fire. They hand it to you, and there's flames on the bun.
Flame broiled, and they've cut it to sit it up in the shape of a person like it's riding a horse, because there's a rodeo in Calgary.
Yeah, you think that would be easy to mass produce?
Yeah, it's like a rodeo
for
dog.
Everybody?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It can make balloon animals. It can make hot dog people. Oh, look, it's riding the bike.
I don't think those are as repeatable.
You're probably right about that.
Balloon animals.
We'll get the Super Great American Football Friday frenzy rolling when we get back, take you through the week's matchups. Anybody wants to chime in on, anything, we're wide open for you. 803-0550, it is Football Friday, brought to you by Salino Law. Car Crash, call Salino, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day at the Crosby's way.